Good morning. So today's daf is daf Ayin Gimel. And we're still dealing with the issues of the Mishnah. The Mishnah taught that if you have an animal that you can't get any benefit from, like an ox that has to be killed because it killed a person, or an animal that can't go on to the Mizbeach, can't go on to the altar, the ox killed a person, but only one person saw it, or a carbon that gets mixed up with secular animals. The bottom line is that there would be no nullification. Even though it's only one in 10,000, the whole thing would become prohibited. You'd have to find a solution. So the Gemara had asked, that only works, presumably the reason why that's happening is because the ox that got mixed in is davar shebiminyan, something which sometimes gets sold by number, not always, it's not something which is sold by estimate. But says the Gemara, there are opinions that the concept that something which is sometimes sold by number is not just something sometimes sold by number, it has to be something which is exclusively sold by number. Can you say about oxen that they are exclusively sold by number? So the Gemara answers here on the bottom of Ayin Beis Min Beis. Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa answered, Hai Tana, the Tana of this Mishnah, Tana de Lichrok Tziosu. It's the Tana of this measure of dried figs of Truma, who holds that not that something has to be exclusively sold by number for it to have the importance of it not losing its identity in a mixture, but even if it's, and doesn't even have to be usually sold by number, even if it's once or at times sold by number, it already has the prominence that it doesn't lose its identity in a mixture. Tamar, he's the one who says, now starting today's daf, Kol davar sheyesh bo minyan, any item that has in it the possibility of being sold by number, afilu b'drabanan, even if the prohibition is only a rabbinic prohibition, lo batil, it already has prominence because sometimes it's sold by number and therefore it doesn't lose its identity to the majority. So certainly in our Mishnah, where we're dealing with biblical prohibitions, Shara Niskal, the prohibition of something being on the Mizbeach, when it can't go onto the altar, that since it's an item which is sometimes sold by number, it wouldn't lose its identity. Where did he say this? The Tanya, he said this in regards to Truma. Truma is the produce which is separated from what grows in a farmer's field. Biblically, you only have truma in wheat. But rabbinically, they added truma even in all fruits. So here we have a Mishnah about figs being truma. So that's rabbinic truma. That's only rabbinic law. And we have the following. Litra, they used to take the figs, they used to dry the figs. Then they would turn the figs into a circle of figs, and they used to do that with the top of a barrel. They would put all the figs along the top of the barrel, and that would compress the figs into the circle of figs. They would squeeze them close to each other. So we learned in a braisa, litruk tzios. Let's say you have, a litra is about a pound worth of dried figs that are of truma, that have been pushed into a circle. How did you push them into a circle? Shadar sal pi eagle. You use the top of a round vessel, the round vessel, in order to make them into a round circle. So that's at the top of the barrel. You squeeze these figs to each other. But now you forgot, and you can't recognize what's what. Ve'en yodea be'eza eagle darsa. You don't know which round vessel you use to squeeze these figs together. Or al pi chavis, you use the top of a barrel. Ve'eni odea be'eza chavis darsa. You don't remember now which barrel you used. Or al pi kaveres, you use the top of a barrel shaped like a beehive. V'ini yodua be'ezah kaveres darsan. You don't know which barrel shaped like a beehive you used. So now we're going to see multiple versions of an argument. Rabbi Meir's version of the argument is like this. Rabbi Lezer says, Roenas el yonos, kilu hein prudos. We imagine that the circle of a pound worth of dried figs is as if it's separated from all the other figs. In other words, we don't say that we only have a suffix, we only have a doubt about what's going on in the tops of the barrels. We imagine that all the figs are separate from each other, and now we don't know which row of figs is truma, which one's not. And therefore, umalo, and therefore, vatachtonos malos eselyonos. That's what we can say, that the lower figs are part of the mixture. And if we have the right dimensions, we can say that these dried figs are bata. Normally, bittel, for annulment, you need a majority. In truma, the rabbi said you need a majority of 100-1. So let's say a typical case of a mixture of truma. If I have a fig of truma that drops into a big bowl and everything is stirred up together of figs, if there are 100 regular figs and now there's only one fig of truma in that mixture, so it's 100-1, and I don't know what's the fig of truma, what's not, so the fig of truma loses its identity, I give one fig to the Kohen, and the other 100 figs I can eat. So here, according to Rabbi Meir, he thinks that the view of Rabbi Eliezer is that even though really, you should say it's not really a mixture of 100-1 here, because it's really, I know where these dried figs are. They're on the top, because that's where I made them into a circle, on the top of a barrel. So I should look at all the tops of all the barrels. He says, no, since I don't remember which barrel it is, we view it as if this circle, yeah, it's towards the top, but I don't know, maybe it got mixed up, maybe it's a little bit below, maybe some other figs were put on top of it, and other figs on top of it. We see all the figs as one big mixture. If between all the figs versus this circle of truma figs, it would be 100-1, you take another circle of figs out and give it to the Kohen, and all the figs are permitted because they're all annulled in the majority. Rabbi Yoshua says, no. Im yesh mea pumin, if you have 100 tops of barrels, and each of those barrel tops had a ring of figs, so you know, if you have 100 circles at the tops of barrels, then yalu, then this circle of figs at the top of a barrel that you forgot where it is can be annulled. Vimlav, but if you don't have 100 tops, then not, because we don't say that the mixture is all the figs. The mixture is the tops of figs, because I know that the dried truma figs are at the top of a barrel. So if the tops of the barrels here, and I just don't remember which barrel, if the tops of barrels are less than 100, then we don't have the right measure to annul it. Vimlav, if not, hapum and asurin, then all the tops are prohibited. Hashulayim, at the bottoms of the barrels, are mutarim, they are allowed, because I know that there's no truma at the bottoms, because it's the figs at the top that were made into truma. I just forgot which barrel did that. That's Rabbi Meir's view of the argument. Rabbi Yehuda says a different view of the argument. He says, Rabbi Lezer says, Im yesha mea pumin yalu. If you have 100 barrels and 100 tops of barrels, so then the one barrel that you don't know which one it is anymore that had truma on its top can be annulled in the other tops. Vimla, but if you don't have tops of barrels, you don't have 100 barrels here, then pumasur, all the tops, all the figs at the tops of the 30 barrels that are here are all prohibited because you have a mixture of, let's say, 1 into 29, so you don't have the right amount to annul it. And Rabbi Yeshua says no. He's so strict, he's even stricter. Afilu yesham shalosh meos pumin, even if there are 300 barrel tops, and there were 300 barrel tops of chulin figs, and I came here and I made one circle at the top of one barrel with truma figs, and I forgot which barrel it is. Lo yalu, that one circle of tshuva figs does not lose its identity. Why? Because since a circle of figs is sometimes sold by number, it has prominence and it never loses its identity. So again, we want to understand, in our Mishnah, why are we saying that the different things that are mixing in, a shor niskal that mixes in, a karban that can't be brought get mixes in, you know, karban get mixed in with chulin, why is there no annulment? Why don't we say, let's follow the majority? So we said, well, it's because it's something which is often sold by number. What about the view that says that according to the Chacham, it has to be exclusively sold by number to be unable to lose its majority? They'll just tell you that this Mishnah is the view of Rabbi Yoshua, that something which is occasionally sold by number doesn't lose its majority, doesn't lose itself in a majority. Okay, continues the Mishnah. Dar Sabi Eagle, let's say this pound of Truma figs were squeezed on the bottom of a barrel. You don't know where on this barrel you squeezed it, Olitzfon, Olidroma, whether it was to the northern part or the southern part. So it's not necessarily at the top. Then everybody agrees you don't need to have multiple barrel tops. You just have to look at the amount of figs. And if the amount of figs is 100 times this pound, it is batel. Okay, so that's one explanation. One explanation of our Mishnah is that our Mishnah is following this view of Rabbi Yoshua, that something which is even occasionally sold by number has prominence and doesn't lose its identity. Says the Gemara, Rav Ashi, Yama Rav Ashi said, Afilu Tem Rabbanan. Our Mishnah can even be the Rabbanan who say that for the concept of Davar Shebim Minyan, something counted by number, it has prominence only if it's Es Shadar Kolimnos, something which is exclusively sold by number. But in our Mishnah, we're talking about living animals. Balei Chayim Chashivi. Living animals have prominence because they are a whole live organism. And therefore, Velo Batli, that's why they don't lose their identity in the majority. Okay, so we have in total three explanations for the law of our Mishnah of why there's no bittul. I mean, we can see other explanations too. We could even, right? One explanation is that maybe these animals are davar shadar kolimnos. Another explanation is these animals are davar sheyesh bo minyan, something that sometimes gets counted, or these animals are balei chayim, they're living, and because they're living, they're not batel. I mean, I guess in theory, the Gemara could have said another thing. Maybe it's kachim. Maybe you could say karbanos are not batel. Okay, but these are the three answers that we saw so far. Ask the Gemara another question. We have a rule called kol de parish meruba parish. When you have a group of things, and you take one out of the group, so we see probably what you took was part of the majority of the group. But separated from the group was probably for the majority of the group. So why don't we say that? V'nimshoch v'nikrav chad minayu. Out of this mixture of shara niskal with karbanos, why don't we pull out one of these animals? V'neiman, let's suggest, called the parish, meruba parish, whatever separated from the group probably came from the majority. So it probably came from the karban. So ask the Gemara, how can you do that? Nimshoch. If you're going to pull one out of the group, havelei kavua. So the ox that killed a person was in its spot. It was established in its spot. We have a rule that kol kavua, whenever we know that an item is here, it was the prohibited item we know is established here. Now we have a question about it. It's kemechtz al mechtz, treated like 50-50. So if I'm going to go to this group of animals and I'm going to pull one out, I know that in the group, I know there is the prohibited animal, there is the shor niskal. So if it's treated like 50-50, I can't assume that what I got is from the majority. That's what the Gemara says now in Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. V'chol kavua, whenever you're going to the spot where you have established the prohibited matter, It's like 50-50. So what was the question? You should pull one out. So question like this. This was the question. Ela nech b'shinu. The question is, let's take the whole group and let's pressure the group. Let's put them under duress. If we put all these animals in some tight spot, what's going to then happen to 90? Then the animals are going to start running. Once the animals start running, it's not kavua, it's not in an established spot. So once it's not established, now we can look at the majority. V'neima, now we'll say, on each animal that separates from what's running, called to parish, maruba parish, probably it came from the majority. If it came from the majority, it's a kasher karba, and I can offer it. Amarava, so Rava answered like this. You're right. In a Torah, you could trigger rov here, because you could say, not bittel barov, not that something loses its identity in a majority, but you could arrange for these things to be running, and once they're running, each one that peels away from what's running, you say it's probably from the majority of what was running. You could do that. But gezeira, it's a rabbinic decree not to. It's a rabbinic decree not to.
Essentially, how is that different from just taking one out of the group?
Because when it's running... No, because when it's running, it's not kavua. It's not established.
Kavua, not kavua. I'm just saying. I mean, the idea of taking it out and saying it's from the road is the same thing. I mean, what's it in taking it out and saying it's from the road, or just saying picking one, like the earlier problem, no? How's it different?
Apparently not, because when you're going to something and you're taking something out of something which is static, that, the rabbis view as being a question of 50 to 50. By definition.
No, going back to the earlier problem. Before we got on to this idea...
Before we got on, we were saying that the rov should annul it. Bittel barov. Should be batel barov.
Okay, versus now?
That you're going to leave some, but what you took from, that should be from the rov. Sorry. So Amar Rava, Rava said, this is a gzera, this is a decree. Shema lest. After you take the animals, let's say you had 11 animals. You had one sharaniskal and 10 that are not sharaniskal into 10 karbanos. So maybe if you make them all run, you pull away from the running herd, 10 of them, so you'll shecht them. But then yavo asara kohanim. After they shechted, kohanim come to catch the blood. Maybe 10 kohanim are going to catch the blood. And they're all going to walk over to the mizbeach. Bevasachas. And at one time, they're going to offer the blood or the emurim, the insides, at the same time, viakrivu. And since they're going to be offering all at the same time, so now already we can't say that we have to assume, that we should assume each one was separate from the majority. What we have is the offering of all, telling them, all of the majority at once. So we should say that if our question is, where is the prohibited animal? It's here, it's in this majority. So if it's in this majority, you're going to be offering the prohibited animal onto the Mizbeach. Amalei ahum rabbanan l'rava. So this rabbi said to Rava, you can't revisit the questions. Elameata, if you're going to say that according to the Chacham, the fear is that the throwing of the blood is going to happen altogether, so there's going to be a question on the throwing of the blood. Which blood is it from? You have to say that the majority. Where is the prohibited animal? You say the prohibited animal is probably here in the majority. You can't say that. Comes out according to you, Migisa Sira, that after we already separated, you know, one by one from the running herd, and we permitted each one based on the rule of Kol Deparish Meruba Parish, whatever separates came from the majority. And we caught the blood, and now we're going to now go combine it to say that it's prohibited. How could you do that? Once we permitted each animal, based on the idea of Kol Deparish Meruba Parish, that this animal separated from the majority, from that which wasn't the Shor Niska. So now you're going to say, if we go back, we say, no, we can't permit it, doesn't make any sense. Therefore, Rava said, okay, I'll tell you what the Gzeirah D'Rabbanan is. Really, you're right. Once you make all the animals move and you start separating from a moving group one by one, each one you take off, we assume is from the majority, and it's not the prohibited animal. But Mishum, but the reason why Midrabban, you can't do that. Maybe 10 Kohanim will come at once and take, let's say out of these 11 animals, take 10 animals. So since you don't have each one by itself, you're taking all 10. Since they're taking all 10, then our question is, where is the pasul animal? Where is the shor niskal? Is it in the one that was left, or is it in the 10 that were taken? Right. Follow the rov. Hold the parash. Right? You assume it went here. So you assume that it was here, and it is prohibited. So Gemara says,
you can't take the rov and make them a korban. Like right. If it was 11 animals, you could take 5.
Yeah. Right. One by one. Says the Gemara, but Basara Kohanim Bevasachas Miefsher, is that even possible? That the 10 animals were grabbed all at once by 10 Kohanim. You made these animals run, now they're running. So the Gemara says, no, it's something else. Allah my Rava. What did we say? We said that if you go to the animals and you take an animal, then it's a question of Kavua, and Kavua is like 50-50. Says Rava, that's the problem. Even if you made the animals run and now you're separating one by one from them, but there's a gzeira. Rava, the gzeira is mishum kavua. Maybe next you're going to go to the 10 animals and just take one from the animals that are there. There's a gzeira of kavua. So you might end up taking one. It's kavua, and therefore they said, even when it's not kavua, you cannot rely on kol de parish, meruba parish. Amar Rava. So Rava now said, Hash to Damri lo nakriv. So now that we say that this is all a rabbinic law, that if a shor haniskal gets mixed up with a lot of karbanos, none of the karbanos can be brought. And even though there is a way to really technically make it permitted to bring them, namely to make the animals start running and then separate one by one, as Paul said, not to take a majority of them, not to take them from their status, from their static state, from their stationary state. But the rabbi said, you shouldn't do that. What happens if you did? Imakriv. If he actually did separate the animals one by one and offer them. Lomaratzi, the carbon didn't work. You have to bring other carbonos. That's Rava's Chiddush. Eis Rav Huna bar Yehuda l'Rava. Rav Huna bar Yehuda challenged Rava with a Mishnah in Meseches Kinim. Again, Kinim deals with a person. It could be a woman who gave birth, who can't afford an animal. It could be a Zav or a Zava, who have to bring two birds, either two young pigeons or two adult turtle doves. One as an ola and one as a chatas. Now we know that the ola sa'of and the chatas sa'of are very different. The ola sa'of, the head is severed. The ola sa'of, the blood goes above the chutasikra. The chatas sa'of, the blood goes beneath the chutasikra. The head is not severed. It's a very different way of doing an ola sa'of versus a chatas sa'of. Says the Mishnah like this. Let's say you have a chatas of a bird, and it's araba ola, that got mixed up with the bird that's an ola. Or an ola shenasarva b'chatas, an ola that gets mixed up with a chatas. Afilu achas b'riba. Let's say it's one chatas bird in 10,000 ola birds. Yamusu kulan. So now you can't offer them, because what are you going to do? If you offer it, you may be offering the thing in the wrong spot, in the wrong way. You might end up offering your chatas in an ola way. So therefore, none of it should be offered. It should all just be left to die. But medvar, when do we say that all these birds should die? But Kohen Nimlach, if the Kohen asks us what he should do, we tell him, don't do anything, let all the birds die, because you can't offer a chatas above the red string. Aval b'Kohen Shein Nimlach. But let's say Kohen didn't ask, and he went and he offered the birds. Now it depends what he did. If he took all the birds in Asan Lamala, he treated them all as olos, Mechtza kasher, half are going to work as olos. Mechtza pasul, half were pasul. If you offer them all a matol below, mechtza kasher, half were kasher as chatzal, so mechtza pasul and half were pasul. If it was achas lamata v'achas lamala, if he offered one bird as a chatas beneath the chuta sikra, one bird as an ola above the chuta sikra, shneim psulim, they're both pasul. Shani yomer, because I say a chatas krev lamala, probably it was all mixed up. The chatas ended up on top and the ola ended up on below. Ola krev lamata, the ola was brought below. So what do you see? Really, he shouldn't have offered anything. If he would have asked us, we would have told him, let them all die. But if he didn't ask us, and he offered them, so what was supposed to be in that spot worked. So how can Rava say that if you have a Shara Niska that gets mixed up with 10,000 karbanos, if a Kohen offers all of them, they don't work? No, we should say the 10,000 karbanos worked for their 10,000 owners. The Shara Niska didn't work, of course. Amar leis, Rava said back to Rav Huna bar Yehuda, it's not a question, because what did you have? You have a bird that gets, let's say an ola bird that gets mixed up with a chatas bird, you don't know what's what. So these birds now, if you'd go ask a rabbi, he'd say don't offer them. So that's called dachwi, that's called pushed aside. It was pushed aside, but it was pushed aside when it was alive. Once it's slaughtered, and the blood is thrown on, let's say, the top of the altar, all of them were put on the top of the altar, we say that ein dichu b'balei chayim, since it was only pushed aside when it was alive, it doesn't create a lasting state of being pushed aside. So ha-kamad zomer, but in our Mishnah, that's like the opinion who holds balei chayim nidachim, that if it's pushed aside when it's alive, it stays pushed aside. V'ha, the Mishnah in Kinim, is Kiman Damer Balei Chaim, Eina Nidachim. That's like the opinion that says that since it was only pushed aside when it was alive, it doesn't create a lasting status of being pushed aside. Stop here. Rabbi Hananya ben Akasha Omer, Ratzah Kodesh Baruch Hu,